Welcome to The Working World. I'm Jamie Lingham.
And I'm Karen Mendes.
And this is a really special episode. It's our first episode, and we have someone who's actually been used to a lot of firsts themselves. Boulder Toll is the general manager of WeWork Australia. In 2012, he was the first employee of Airbnb. Then he moved into co-working spaces, being one of the first people working, and also was picked up and employed by WeWork, which is a global organization that has over 800 offices throughout the world and 21 locations, including Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth. Welcome to the show, Boulder.
Thanks for having me.
How's it all going?
It's going great. I think, you know, the environment that COVID threw at us has been challenging for many organizations, including ourselves. But we see light at the end of the tunnel. And I think I'm most excited that there's an acceleration of trends that we saw pre-COVID happening right now.
Well, Boulder, one of the first questions I want to throw at you is a traditional office space dead? Is co-working spaces the way forward?
Well, co-working spaces are the way forward. I don't think the office is dead, but it's being heavily transformed as we speak. So for us, we really see that working from home may seem fine, but we need to be aware that humans are social creatures and we thrive when we feel we're part of something bigger, that we're part of a community. And therefore, the office is being transformed and we need to look at the dramatic shift that is going on and the role that the office will play now and in the future.
So just on that, Boulder, I mean, one thing what we've certainly noticed, particularly in Melbourne, and we have had one of the hardest lockdowns in the world, the city of Melbourne has had the traffic going into the city reduced by 90%. And I know that WeWork have locations in high-rise buildings as well. Can you see a change in how co-working spaces will operate within suburban and community areas?
Yeah, I think there's a great user case. I think how we look at different types of employees, you will see that flexibility and optionality on where to work for the task that you're being most productive is probably the biggest shift that we've seen. And organizations are coming to the table right now offering increased flexibility. So it will really depend on where your workforce is being based in terms of housing. But what we see is that you'll have employees that really have the desire to connect with their peers, probably operate in more creative tasks together in a group. So collaboration is important. Those employees will continue to come into the office. Then I think the majority of us, you'll see that there is flexibility to have the optionality to, let's say, work 3 days in the office to really benefit from the social interactions, yet still be flexible and not even at home, but work anywhere. And then you'll have the group that really wants to work near home. And I think in Australia, we will see co-working spaces pop up in more suburban areas, really to offer still an environment that is conducive to the task you need to perform. And remove some of the challenges that working from home actually gives. So I do feel that there's going to be an increased interest in suburban areas, but let's not forget that cities have proven to be incredibly resilient. And if you look at how we as an organization select our cities, we have an incredible amount of data on where our members would like to be. And you see that the preference is still to come into the city to be close to cultural hub, be close to F&B options, as well as socialize straight outside. So I don't think that the CBDs are going to disappear. However, reduced pressure on that 9-to-5 work life and therefore reduced pressure on our infrastructure is something that I anticipate we'll see more and more.
And so when it comes to that craving for human interaction, do you therefore think that the drive around co-working spaces is going to come from the employee side, or do you think organizations are going to drive that movement?
So it's an interesting question, but I think first we have to acknowledge that organizational life is founded upon relationships. And in order to really build those relationships, physical proximity is critical to creating trust and cooperative relationships. And it also impacts our ability to learn, ideate, and even innovate. But I think where it comes to the question of co-working spaces, there's one really good thing that came out of COVID. And that is that every organization around the world and in Australia is asking their employees on where and how they like to work. So the conversation is truly alive. And I don't think it's one or the other, but rather a strategic decision. So what we see is that organizations are really start to focus on their people strategy first. And their people strategy will drive their real estate and occupancy strategies. So with signs of more decentralized workforce, we will see demand for third spaces, co-working spaces increase. And organizations do want to deliver a consistent employee experience. And therefore, we see a large enterprise organizations actually come to WeWork because they're able to give a consistent employee experience with flexibility, yet in 800 locations and 130 cities around the world.
I'm just wondering, because we were talking about how community really drives, you know, people, and that's what people want to come back to the office for. They want the socialization, right? So would you say that someone who's more socialized is actually more productive?
Well, it depends on the task you need to perform within your role. I think there's a lot to say for having the autonomy on where to work for the task at hand. So where it comes to optionality on where to work, that we'll see definitely increase. And I even see it with myself. Like every Wednesday, I work from home and I do my deep focus work. And it allows me to have less distractions in a comfortable environment. Yet I am a social creature. And within our organization, there's a lot of innovation and change, and therefore collaboration with my peers is incredibly important. So to have the choice on where to work for where I'm most productive with the task at hand is going to be a lot more evident. However, our workspace and the offices absolutely need to contribute to, you know, the purpose why people are coming into the office in the first place.
COVID has certainly changed the way we approach work, how we approach the office space, how we approach working from home. Have you put any thought into, you know, potentially how office space could move into sort of shifts? So would you have your 7 till 2 or 7 till 3 and then your 3 till 10? I mean, I don't know if that's been a conversation or a thought, but I just think that if we're starting to get the volume of people into the same space, mathematically, you couldn't do it within the standard working hours. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to flexibility, and you'll hear me say that a lot. But for us, flexibility is about choice, and it's about, you know, the changing norms, empowering employees with the autonomy to choose where to work. And COVID-19 has really illuminated the desire for greater flexibility amongst our employee workforce. And it has accelerated its acceptance. So instead of thinking about it in shifts, I like to think about it more as like, what environment do I need to be most productive at that point in time? And that can mean that maybe in the morning I want to do my deep focus work and I don't want to be disturbed, and therefore I decide to work from home. Yet in the afternoon I'm working on a collaborative project and I will venture in one of our WeWork locations to have both the social element and the right environment to collaborate with my peers.
Boulder, I know certainly for the organization I work for and a lot of organizations out there, that their focus right now is very much on health and safety in relation to COVID. And comes with that is the social distancing considerations to the existing workplaces. And so my question to you is, how are co-work spaces considering that? What are they doing about that in relation to the design or the operation of a co-working space? How do you accommodate for that?
Yeah, I'll answer it in two ways. First, we need to make sure that both our WeWork employees and our members feel safe and secure in our spaces. Mm-hmm. So what we've seen is that in response to COVID, we've really de-densified our communal areas to allow for that social distancing. However, the nature of work is constantly evolving, and how our spaces will look and feel will continue to change. So embracing adaptability and considering the role of flexibility in companies' real estate strategy will increasingly be pivotal to how we can meet the evolving future of work. So when it comes to developing creative solutions and collaboration, the best way is still face-to-face. And that's where we believe the role of the office is going to become increasingly important. So the office will evolve, but our innate need for connection will remain. And the workplace design and facilities should reflect those needs. And therefore, within our organization, we are lucky that we have a lot of analytical tools that allow us to track the movement of our members in our space to make sure that our design is always conducive to the environment we want to create.
Now, Boulder, I can hear my fellow HR practitioners out there in the world thinking about workplace culture. And so my question to you is, how do co-working spaces address incorporating organizations that may be considering taking on co-working spaces? How do they incorporate that culture back into the co-working space and making sure that the employees still feel connected to the mothership, so to speak?
Yeah, and it's a fascinating question. I don't think COVID has really changed that perception of tapping into as an additional real estate strategy. So what we've seen is that companies have their own corporate identity and culture. And by coming into organizations like WeWork, where we're so focused on making those face-to-face connections and really positively impact, what we see is that due to all of the cultural initiatives that we organize for our members, it elevates the culture that is already there. What we see today is that we're drawing down on the social capital that we've built pre-COVID, and there's very little opportunity to refill that glass. And therefore, we have to be very mindful, especially if we start to onboard new employees into the team, mm-hmm. on how can we still inject the culture that you as an organization are proud of what you have created.
So do you think COVID has actually pushed people more towards co-working?
I wouldn't necessarily, call it in the co-working side. I think what we will see is, and we have clear signs of a more decentralized workforce. And with that, we now realize as well that working from home, the honeymoon period for the majority of us is definitely over. Yeah. So how can we come up with a solution for organizations that still offer the flexibility to work from where an employee is most productive, instead of just working from home, as the loneliness factor is very evident while working from home for long periods of time. So with those two combinations, shared workspaces and co-working spaces in general are uniquely set up to actually tap into this acceleration of trends that were already brewing in the background pre-COVID. So COVID has been an accelerator, and I think the demand for third spaces is going to increase in order to offer the employee workforce really the flexibility and optionality that they desire. And in general, I think it's interesting because I'm putting a few things together. Like internally, we've hosted a number of gratitude circles and what to be grateful of and keep the positive mindset. And with that, a number of tips were like, well, if you want to be more inspired, take a different route home to work rather than the same bus route, etc. Now, and I apply the same to your work environment. Like if you work in the same office at the same desk every day, there's less inspiration than when you have the optionality to work in multiple places.
I think though that for organizations, when we think about, giving people the green light to work, for me, if I think about my main stakeholders, the first thing they're going to say is risk. And so I wonder what your thoughts are around what the biggest risk factors are that are facing the co-working space in your view, in your mind.
Well, I think the biggest risk for co-working is what we're living through right now. And that is the COVID pandemic, where everyone is working from home. Yet we do see that demand keeps increasing in these times of uncertainty. So with space as a service, you really have to understand that organizations can scale up and down and really accommodate, you know, their ongoing changes in their employee needs. So where it comes to the numbers, I think increased, you know, insecurity from external market environments, you know, really increases the need for flexibility in general. And therefore, WeWork started 10 years ago during the financial crisis. And even now, we see increased demand around the world during the times of a pandemic when everyone is working from home. And for me, it's fascinating that organizations still want to consider the Sydney CBDs, or sorry, the city CBDs, as a place to come together. And cities have proven to be incredibly resilient. They're the cultural hub, it's the hub for F&B, but as well to offer social connection platform as a city to connect beyond what's required in the workplace and really building those personal reactions. So I think that cities will continue to be a centralized hub. However, a decentralization with the optionality will increase.
So you think there'll be co-working spaces in regional bases, or perhaps even, dare I say, country spaces as well? You think it'll be a competitive market?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there is demand for it, but not at the scale that a city can offer. So, yeah, independent co-working spaces have already been popping up all around the country. I mean, if you're in Byron Bay at the moment, you can choose, I believe, from like 10 or 12 different co-working spaces. Now, they're all small, and it allows them up to maybe 15 or 20 members, where we really believe in the scalability of our platform, because the more interesting organizations and individuals you can bring together in a single space, the more opportunity for social connection you can provide. So for us, we strongly believe that cities will continue to be proven very resilient in these times of change. I think you hit it on the head there, right? I think that it's fascinating if you see at, you know, and Karen, you might be aware of this as well, because like top challenges for executives is actually forecasting their headcount requirements beyond about 18 months, right?
Yeah.
So after 18 months, it becomes just a shaky forecasting, and no one has their glass ball they can look into. Yet at the same time, we're signing up for real estate needs for
House those people.
Exactly, for 10 years. Yeah.
Like, so already, like, I mean, one of the shortest leases that would be standard right now is about 3 years. So you're already taking an 18-month risk on one of the most costly parts of your business, because your real estate solution and your employee payroll tend to be your highest cost on your P&L anyway. So why commit to such a financial decision to own something rather than actually giving back the flexibility and experience to your employees to choose how they want to work?
Obviously, a lot of that's off the table. I know that passenger arrivals in Australia have reduced by 99%. Which is significant. We've gone from, I think, 32 million passenger movements down to 600,000, which is just absolutely mind-blowing. So what would you be saying to, you know, recruiters and, I suppose, more mobility practitioners of how they should be approaching recruitment at the moment in this, you know, COVID COVID period and this post-COVID period, especially with the conversation of co-working spaces?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're lucky that COVID is hitting in a time where technology is incredible. If we go back, you know, 5-6 years, I mean, Google Hangout was probably the number one tool that everyone used, and still clunky. Whereas today, with, you know, Microsoft Teams and Zoom, like, the experience is great, especially compared to years ago. But it's still a tool, and it can't fully replace the face-to-face interaction. So when it comes to recruitment, I think, you know, Zoom can do a lot, and we have learned that we probably traveled more then we had to. I see it myself. We obviously have locations across Australia. I try to visit every single city at least once a month, putting a huge strain on even, you know, my travel plans. Whereas now I've realized that, you know, with the technology that we have available, I can probably reduce that while still achieving the right outcomes. So for that, a reduced travel life is probably something we'll continue to see, as we're just becoming more mindful of, do we really need to be there in person, or do I want to be there in person? Mm-hmm. And I think where it's the answer when we really need to is no, that the technology will continue to replace the travel needs. So when it comes to recruitment, I still fundamentally believe that onboarding, learning, mentoring of your peers and more senior employees in the team are absolutely crucial for development of employees, both on culture and personal development for continuous learning opportunities.
In relation to, I guess, with the borders being closed, a lot of talent functions now are going to see it quite difficult to attract and motivate candidates to move internationally, not only because it's somewhat physically impossible with flight availabilities, border closures, but the reluctance from candidates around actually moving due to the virus. So I guess my question to you is, what role do you see the co-working space play in relation to partnering with other elements that require support for organizations to establish hubs outside of their core headquarters?
Yeah, and that's where the global skill of our organization comes in very strongly. We're able to set up space in many different companies while dealing with one key stakeholder in the organization. So I think the speed of expansion and to address the need of these businesses, if you go back and you look at, you know, the traditional real estate industry, there's many different stakeholders involved in the end to come to the right outcome. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, broker partners to find the space, architects, designers to get it ready. And it takes a long time to come to a desired outcome. Now, with the evolution and the sophistication that space as a service providers have become, especially over the last 5 years, we're able to accommodate immense amount of growth on an international scale while dealing with a single individual. And that is incredibly empowerment, because if you want to have 50 employees in 15 countries by tomorrow, the WeWork solution will be able to facilitate that. So the ease and speed to market combined with a consistent employee experience in many different countries around the world is looked upon very favorably, especially by international organizations that try to tackle multiple countries in one go.
I mean, but I guess the office element, though, is only one portion of the considerations when you're looking at, I guess, virtually expanding around the world. And, you know, that is the very premise of our podcast series, is to kind of unpack each of those sessions. And obviously today we're talking to you about co-sharing. I guess I wondered what plans perhaps that the co-working space industry has around partnering with those other elements. So, for example, tax, payroll, those kind of considerations where organizations are really looking for that one-stop shop solution for engaging their people offshore. You know, what's the co-working space doing in that arena?
You know, we will continue to partner with organizations to offer business services that would be in demand for our diverse member group.
With the cities that are returning a bit more to COVID normal, such as Perth, have you seen people's habits and attitudes return back to that pre-COVID time, or is there a big reluctance now in the way that people operate?
No, so our members that were active members going into the pandemic, they've been over the moon to come back. And you see that Perth and Brisbane is between 85 and 90% of our regular footfall.
Wow.
COVID. So you see the absolute desire of come back into the office. And even when they come back for the first time, we see our members take to social media. And, you know, someone said the other day, it's like, oh, I've never appreciated the power of a whiteboard, right? So those are fascinating. And I think in Sydney, it's starting to get there. So especially now that the school holidays are over, there's more interest. I think for the more innovative and small businesses, they're all transitioning back right now, because they need to collaborate and innovate in the early stages of the business, where you see that larger enterprise locations are still taking a more cautious approach. But even they are now coming back with COVID safe plans, AB teams, and starting to utilize the office, but give it as an option for their employees. So they say, if you want to, you are welcome to come back, but it's not mandatory.
I reckon you're in the box seat for all of this.
Exactly.
I think you are absolutely in the box seat. I think for all the firms in town and stuff who are just saying, hey, you know, we're going to have limited work thing. We'll offer you, we'll give you the option to go to we work to, whether it's for meetings or whether it's for whatever, I don't know. But I just think that you're in a good spot.
Really love the personal touch touch of it all. So thank you.
Boulder, that's been fantastic. You've had some really unbelievable insights. There's certainly some food for thought there. I think a lot of things that, you know, we certainly were thinking about and a number of others that we weren't thinking about. I love the fact that you haven't written the cities off. I love the fact that cities are resilient. I think it'd be a shame to see cities go down. But, you know, it does sound very exciting, the future of work, you know, especially given, as you said, the security protocols, they're already being tested. People are already at home. They're already on Zoom. You know, I think that companies who have been nervous about taking the step in the past, I think it's shown that they can take the step. It's a very exciting year ahead, you know, just to see how this evolves with the pandemic, and obviously a very exciting future for the co-working space. Boulder, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being our first guest. You've been amazing. You've brought really great energy to it, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you for being so generous with your time, Boulder. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Karen, Jamie, thanks for having me. Really enjoyed chatting about the future of work.